Expectation. Expectation is such an important thing. Luke chapter 3, if you'll look with me. Luke, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now this was a great statement, a great revelation of what was coming to the people of God. You have to remember that there had been all this time of hundreds of years of silence, no prophetic voice, and they're really in need. Can you imagine the need? No word from the Lord. All those many years and generations have gone by. Not one prophet in 400 years. But then John steps on the scene. The Bible says in this chapter that he's in the wilderness and he's preaching repentance. Or really the word just means turnaround, change. And this is a generation that is saying, oh, how desperately we need change. How desperately we need to turn from what we have been, dry and empty and no word from the Lord, and desperately in need of a word from God. And so John steps on the scene and begins to preach to them repentance and remission of sins. And it says the word of the Lord came into John in the wilderness, and he began to preach repentance for the remission of sins. And he began to show them what to do in order to see the fruit of repentance, to prove that truly that God is coming and he is doing, that the Messiah is getting ready to step on the scene, and the answer is coming through Jesus, the Messiah. Praise God. The verse that I read to you there in verse 15, it says, and all the people were in expectation. Expectation. There's just this void, this emptiness in them, this longing in them. Have you ever experienced it before? Or you just need to hear from God? You just needed God to move for you in your situation. And you just have a longing and a desire and an expectation. You know, expectation is really, really important, especially when it comes to the church and the ministry of the church. Now, I believe that God can move at any location all over this building if he wants to. He can move anywhere in this building. He's not limited to any particular location. But I also have been around church long enough to know that most of the activity happens right up here in the front. Most people that get saved up here. Most of the people that are healed around the altar area. And people that are filled with the Holy Ghost are healed around filled around this area here. It's not because it's more important or more of a special location than some other place in the building. It's because we have an expectation that God is going to meet with us here. An expectation that God will do what he has promised that he would do. We come together and we meet together. Amen. Now, no offense to those of you that like to sit on the back seat, but sometimes it makes me wonder. Sometimes I wonder, are they afraid I'm going to spit on them? Or I've seen videos of our services, and we had, thank you, Marvin. There's been videos of our services, that someone took from halfway back, and it looked like there was nobody at church. Hardly anybody there. If they turned the camera around the other way and pointed back at the back, they'd see that's where the biggest majority of the people are, hanging out in the back. Amen. Don't get offended at me now. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. I'm not saying God can't move that back there in the back, but Peggy Jo said this morning that they were back. Dennis and her were hiding in their hiding place back there. And so some folks come in and they look for a hiding place in the back. Come out of the shadows. Come out of the dark hiding places. And come up and expect that God can move for you and that He will move for you. Amen. If you'll just allow Him to do that. God can do some wonderful things if we have an expectation. Now, if I announce that next Sunday night, Jim Cimbala and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir are going to be here, there wouldn't be a front row seat empty. Everybody would be cramming the front seats and wanting to be right in the big middle of it. Sorry, I'm not Jim Cimbala. And that choir is not Brooklyn Tabernacle. But they're pretty good, and we do all right, and we know that the anointing is real. And that God can speak. It all much has to do with our expectation of what we believe that God is going to do. That we really believe that He's going to save. We believe He's going to heal. We believe that He's going to work. Now, this was a people that were starving to hear from God. They were really spiritually starving to hear a word from the Lord. So when John began to speak to them about repentance, even though it was going to be, it was requiring them, telling them that they need to reverse, turn around and go the opposite direction that they are going, they received it with expectation. What's really interesting is that word there, expectation, means to rise up and get on your tiptoe. That's the kind of expectation. An expectation, a longing, a desire to hear from God, a desire to see God work and move. What would happen here in our location right here in our church if everybody came to church with that kind of an expectation? We really believed God was going to do something every service. We really believed that God was going to supernaturally speak to us. We were going to hear from God and we were going to see God moving mightily. And I understand that every service is not the same, but if we all came with an expectation that God was going to have His way, and we were going to cooperate with that, we would be right in the middle of what God is going to do. All the people were in expectation. They had anxious anticipation. That's the way we ought to come to church, with an anxious anticipation. What will God do tonight? How will God speak tonight? Who will He touch tonight? How will He work among His people in the service tonight? Now, this generation was longing to hear from God, and even though it was a message that was hard to hear, they didn't care. They were just so hungry to hear from God, they didn't even care that it was a message that required them to completely change. To completely turn around. The people begin to ask to say to Him, what shall we do? What do you want us to do? And He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. He just began to describe to them, here's some things you can do that would be like fruit or meat of your repentance, that would prove that you are truly, your heart is really turned in the right direction. If you are giving and you're generous and you're willing to give up some things and invest in other people and care about other people, he said, if you'll do that, then it will prove that you really mean what you're saying. You truly do want to change. And then came the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? We know that the publicans were liars and deceivers and thieves and took advantage of people. And so the response was, he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. The Roman government requires a certain amount that you would exact of them, or that you would tax the people. And the common practice of the publicans was to get the Roman percentage, but to also take a little extra for themselves. And so the people were under the load of that burden of taxation. And so in turn, they hated the publicans. And they were known as publicans and sinners because they were so evil and so full of greed that they wanted, and they would steal from the common man. He stole from him. And so he said, just take what the government says take. Don't do any more than that. Don't be selfish. Just take what's being required of you by the Roman government. Just exact that and no more. You do that, and everybody's going to realize God must be changing that publican's heart. Something's going on in that publican's heart. And then in verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. Apparently, most of the soldiers were bullies and would take advantage of people, use their brute strength and their position as a soldier, and take advantage of people. And so he said, don't do violence to anyone, neither accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your wages. And he said, you do all these things, and everybody's going to see it, and they're going to say, God must be at work in that man's life. All these things were fruit of repentance, the evidence that God was working. Now, these are people that were sinners, wicked, going in an opposite direction of the way of the Lord, but they're so ready to hear from God that they're willing to change completely and turn around and to hear the message of repentance and to completely do an about face, a reversal of the direction that they're going, because they were so hungry to hear the truth and to hear from God. Amen. What an amazing thing. Whenever there are hungry hearts interested in knowing the truth of God's word, and when you want to know the truth, and you're just, I love new Christians, new converts, because they have an interest, an appetite. There's this hunger to know something more, to learn more about the Lord. And as the people were in expectation, all the men mused in their hearts of John, who is this guy? Is he Christ or not? They were wondering about him, but they had this great expectation in their heart. And then John responded and said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one that's coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Amen. I don't know what all their expectation was, but they were musing about what John was and who he was and what message that he was bringing to them. And then John says, it's much greater than you could even imagine. And that's exactly the way it is when we have an expectation that God is going to work and he's going to move. Amen. And we should come to the house of the Lord. We should come to prayer. We should come believing that God is the God who works miracles, who works supernaturally in all kinds of situation. He can deliver. He can save. He can move in the impossible situation of your life. But we need to be a people of expectation, believing God and expecting him. Remember there in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was miraculously delivered from prison, and he comes out of the inner part of that prison, it's like he's in a daze. It's such a miracle that he's been delivered from the prison. It says in verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What were they praying about? They were praying about those apostles who had been locked up in prison, and some of them had been executed, And they were in a prayer meeting praying for them to be delivered from the judgment that was coming upon them. Amen. And you know that the answer to their prayer was standing at their front door. The answer to their prayer was right there. As a matter of fact, when the young lady, Rhoda, went to the door and heard his voice, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. So here, get the picture. She goes to the door and she realizes, that sounds like Peter. And she gets so excited that she doesn't even open it up and let him in. And she just runs back into the rest of the group that's in the middle of their prayer meeting to tell them what's happening. She ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said under her, thou art mad. Some of us, that's how much of an expectation we have of God's answer to prayer. Whenever it does happen, we're surprised. We're shocked. We're almost in disbelief that God actually moved. Instead of having an anticipation and an expectation that God is going to work and move, instead of that, we are in unbelief. We don't really believe that he can heal some of these we've been praying for, but he can. Dennis Kirby is evidence of that, that God has moved in his situation, has answered prayer. He's gained 10 pounds in the last, week or whatever it's been, 2 weeks. And his appetite's returned. His blood work is all perfect. Everything is completely turned around for him. He's gaining weight, and God is helping him. And even his heart is becoming a little more tender toward the things of the Lord. Don't tell me that prayer isn't making a difference. And we need to have an expectation for all of these that we're praying for. I pray for all these different ones every morning, flip through my phone app and pray for all these different people. I pray for my own boy, Zach. And almost every Sunday night, when I talk to him on the phone, I try to talk to him about the Lord. And he gets on my nerves so bad, he just makes me so aggravated at him because he won't go to church and he won't do the things that he needs to do. And I have to wrestle with it. I must ask the Lord, help me to have an expectation that you're going to turn this thing around, that you're at work in his heart. You're going to turn him. You're going to change him and turn him toward you, Lord. Amen. I don't want to be like those in the prayer meeting for Peter to be delivered in their unbelief. They said to her, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it really is Peter. And they said, no, it's an angel. Must be just an angel. They believed, but they didn't believe that God was really going to answer their prayer. But Peter just kept on knocking. And when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. What? You mean our prayer's been answered? How is this possible? We've been praying. How is it possible? Our prayer's been answered. And here's Peter. He's delivered from prison. And he's standing right here in our door and coming in to our prayer meeting. And we've been praying for him. And how many of us have been praying about things, but we really don't expect it's going to change? Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us, Lord, because we pray and we don't really expect that God is going to move. Amen. Glory to God. I believe that he is moving. I believe that there are greater things, just as he revealed to that group of people there through John, that this was not just about John and his baptism, but there were some greater things that God was getting ready to do. He was going to reveal the Messiah, and he was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There were some wonderful, greater things that were just ahead for them if they would just believe God. If they would just have an expectation of what God is going to do. Amen. You know, too often we live in the past. We think about the past. And, thank God for what he has done. Thank God for where we are right now. But do you understand that God has a mighty, wonderful future for you? Amen. A plan, a hope, a future for you. Some big things, wonderful things, great things that he wants to do. And really, I believe that the enemy fights you hard. He fights me hard because he knows that if we will get into a frame of mind, of faith, an expectation, that there's not anything that God cannot do. There's nothing that the Lord cannot do. And Satan will fight you and try to rob you of your faith because God has a future for you. He has some wonderful, wonderful things that he wants to do in your life and through your life if you'll put your confidence in the Lord. Amen. We have a tendency just to look back. Lord, this is what used to happen. It used to happen, and we even embellish it. We talk about the good old times so much that we kind of embellish it. It gets to be bigger than it was, greater than it was. And we need to focus on the fact that God is at work today, right now, has wonderful, supernatural things that he wants to do right now among his people. Praise God. Amen. So come with expectation. Brother Harry Ormsby said the other night that he says toward the back because there are people coming into the service that he's invited or he's brought them or he's after them. So he wants to have access to them. So Harry has an excuse. But everybody else can move forward. Move forward with the expectation. Amen. Amen. Fill up all these front pews and come like you really are anxious to be here, desiring to be in the presence of the Lord and longing to see God work and move among his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so here tonight, there are some things that God wants to do. Why don't we stand together and let's take this time around this altar tonight, right now, to believe God and to pray and believe that God can fill with the Spirit. He can heal the sick. He can comfort the brokenhearted. He can minister to everyone that's in need right here. And we can expect him to do it. Let's believe him to do that. Here in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to invite any one of you here tonight. You need help from the Lord. If you don't know the Lord personally, if you're not saved, then I'd step out and get down here to this altar. He wants to help you. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to come to this altar. Amen. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Come expecting. Come believing. If you need to be healed tonight, physically you're in need of a touch from the Lord, come believing. Come expecting that God is going to minister in your life and in your need. Right here tonight. Right tonight around this altar. Or whatever is weighing heavily upon your heart, whatever burden, whatever need, whatever situation you're up against, would you bring that to the Lord tonight with a real expectation that God can help you, that God can move in this service right here around this altar. Amen. Would you come, anyone, whatever your need is, whatever you're in need of as far as help from the Lord, we want to pray for you and pray with you and believe God. Come expecting God to touch and to move in your situation. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, have your way. Lord, minister to needs in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.